We thank you for joining us for another episode of True Wisdom, where Andrew and I talk more about God's Word. Welcome, Andrew.
Welcome, Robert, and welcome, guests.
All right. So each and every week, we talk about why we got involved in seeking true wisdom. It's not just to learn more about God and for everlasting life, even though those are important, but it's actually useful for us to know God's will for our lives while we're here so that we can have a better life. One of the things I've been looking at is the story of Israel. And in Leviticus, I believe it's Leviticus 26, I thought so. So as God lays out in Leviticus 26, the benefits of following his rules and the downside of not doing it. So,
right.
Andrew, you tell us why we seek after true wisdom.
That's interesting. So here's the verse that I had selected. It's funny, sometimes going through the verses, I'll have one, and then I'll have this restless feeling, and I'll look some more, and then my eyes will light upon one. It's like, okay, that feels better, and I never know why. Proverbs 19:8 says, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." So you can see that it ties into your Leviticus 26 a little bit more than the other one that I was looking at. Proverbs 9:9-10, this is where our theme verse comes from. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." That's our theme, not Proverbs 9:9-10.
Excellent. So why don't you start us off with prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together like this. We thank you for the technology that makes this possible. We thank you for your word, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding so we can rightly divide the words of truth that are before us. We pray that those who hear it will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So what do we have on tap today?
Okay. We're in story land, and Genesis is full of stories. We're going to go over to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to start in 11. We're going to cover 11, 12, and 13, but obviously not all, not 100% of each of those chapters. You're going to start at verse 31 of Genesis 11.
Genesis 11, 31.
Mm-hmm.
"And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 250 years, and Terah died in Haran." 205 years. I jumped ahead. "And Terah died in Haran." Now we flip over to Genesis 12. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came."
Okay, so let's deal with this section here, because we're going to leap over to Genesis 13, and this is the background. The Bible is sometimes interesting in that sometimes you get information and then you get the reasons for the information afterwards. You don't always, it is not consistent where you're told, here is the backstory, and then you enter the story. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get the story And then it says, and this was the reason why. And we talked about this at different times, but this is important. Terah took Abram, his son. This is where we start off. Terah, the last person in the Bible recorded with an age over 200, takes Abram, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, daughter-in-law, and some other folks, right? It doesn't mention all of them here, but it takes some other folks, right? All the other living children, and they travel from Ur of the Chaldees on the way to the Promised Land. Now, I'm saying that without the verse, the next verse is going to come. I'm saying that. He takes them, and he goes, and they travel, and they stop in Haran.
Mm-hmm.
And in Haran, they stay there. Terah was old, and they spent 5 years there. Okay? And Terah dies there. Now, verse 1 of chapter 12 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee.
Right.
Okay? The Lord had said. But when Abram, the youngest of his family, got up to go, where are you going? Oh, the Lord told me to go here. Oh, okay. The Lord's directing you. Ta-da. So father goes and all the children go because that's the patriarchal family. And they all travel and they get to Haran. And then they're like, okay, you got to rest here. They get comfy. And then Terah dies. And now in verse 4, we see that Abram departs from Haran.
Right.
But he only leaves with Sarah and with Lot. Because the other siblings aren't going to go anywhere. They're like, hey, we came last time because the father, we already left a rich country in Ur of the Chaldees, and we're kind of okay here. We don't know where you're going, and we're not falling for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I want to emphasize verse 1. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. How many components does that instruction have?
Let's see here. 3, with 4 being the qualifier. With the fourth part, unto a land I'll show thee. That's the qualifier.
Right. Okay. How much of it has been done so far?
1. And in truth, he didn't get into the last one until the issue with Lot was resolved, where Lot went into Sodom.
Mm-hmm. So far, get thee out of thy country. Okay, done. And from thy father's house. Okay, done. It took father's death, but that's done. But Lot appears to be kindred.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Genesis 13, starting at verse 1.
All right. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, and unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Unto the place of the
later
altar.
Known as AI.
Yes, AI, yes. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt there in the land. That is an interesting addition to that sentence.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That sentence, remember, what we've been learning here, as we've been studying, nothing is placed in the Bible for no reason.
Hmm.
Nothing is placed. There was strife between two family members, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite are
watching,
are witnesses to it.
Mm-hmm.
They are watching. They are watching.
So this harkens back to what I had said before. Even as Abram went, his nephew Lot went, but that ended up causing a strife because God blessed them, as God said he would. Anyone who blesses Abram would also be blessed. And Lot was showing deference and love. And the strife wasn't between Abram and Lot.
Not directly. No,
right.
Not
the strife was just between their workers. When when the Bible states that the land was not able to bear them, you have to understand how much cattle eat. And back then, there weren't these advances in macrogenetics, where you can grow things quickly, and you have to allow the land to grow as the land grows. You can till it, you can refresh it, but you even had to rotate. And so if you have so much cattle that you're eating the land up before the other set of cattle get to eat, then you're going to have problems, because this is your money, your food, this is everything.
Right.
And unhealthy cows make for unhealthy living.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we see later on when Jacob is managing it, his kids have to go far. I mean, they're traveling to Dothan, and they're just doing this large circuit where they can eat the place and come back.
Right, right.
Okay.
So now we're in verse 8 of chapter 13 of Genesis. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes.
Very magnanimous.
Oh, very much so. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. It helps when you have rivers running through your land. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom.
Okay. That's an interesting statement, too. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. What is Lot doing in the cities of the plain when he just left because of a lot of, you know, managing herd?
Well, you see that he eventually ended up in Sodom. So there must have been something that attracted him there. Because it is interesting. Verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well worn. And if he had as much sustenance as it said he had, going into a city would restrict what he can do. Or perhaps he had the land, but he himself, as it said, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That means he was facing that. He was edging towards Sodom. So he can have his fields, but he would live in the city.
Look at verse 5 again.
Yeah. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So it didn't say he pitched, right? It didn't say he pitched his tents towards Sodom.
No, it does not.
Just his tent. They got attracted to the city life. So I guess one of the things is, when you listen to the Lord, you have to listen the whole way, because even him pitching his tent in that direction caused problems for Abram. Now, Abram was able to keep separate from it for most of the time. He had to go rescue him and other people. That may not have been Lot's fault, but Lot was close to where those people were. And those people, the let's see exactly the name of the nation that attacked him.
Oh, you remember.
Yeah, because we had done this lesson. Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Chedorlaomer.
That's it. Yeah, Elam.
Idol, king of nations.
Yes, yes. So they attacked Sodom and Gomorrah mm-hmm. and caught up the people who are right around them.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was not attacked.
By then. Yes. Right. Abraham wasn't attacked.
He wasn't attacked.
He only came because of the messaging.
Right.
So look what the Lord says now. Look what the Lord says. Let's do verses 13 through 18.
All right. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord.
Okay.
So it wasn't until he fulfilled all of what God told him to do that he got to see what he received.
Exactly. So God told him to do something. He started to do it. His father dies, and he's reminded to do it. And he makes a move to do it, and then, you know, still there's two parts done at that point. Then there's a conflict. Lot chooses. He gives Lot an option. Lot makes his choice. And as soon as Lot was separated from him, the Lord comes and says, you didn't lose anything. Look all around you. Everything you can see is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously includes the same land that Lot went to, because in verse 10, it said, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. So the fact that Lot could see it
right.
means that Abraham, it really belonged to Abraham, and God is reminding him, you haven't lost anything.
Right. And he told him, go ahead, walk around.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Start to get comfortable. It's interesting that sometimes God needs us to separate.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't mean that we should never care about other people's safety, because you see, even after this promise, Abraham is going to go and save Lot, but he's going to retreat back to home base when he's finished with it. Right?
I think two things there are key. He gave Abram direct instructions. Yeah, there were three parts to it, but he gave him direct instructions, and Abram didn't actually get the promise until he followed all three. And two, he doesn't give those instructions to everybody. People get different instructions. And so sometimes right. we say, well, God told him to do it, so I should do it. No, but if God speaks to you about what you should do, that's what you should do. The example right. that we have here is not just in the separation, but it's in the obedience.
Right. Right. And there's nothing that suggests that Abraham was being disobedient. Abraham may not have recognized how significant that separation needed to be, right? After all, Lot, when he goes to leave, his father, who is considered on the good team, went with him, right? So it's not like Abraham wasn't trying to leave. It's that everybody left with him. But you notice they didn't get to Canaan. They got
right.
to Haran.
Right. He was held up.
And yes. He was held up. They were held up. They stayed in Haran, because that's where Jacob ends up going subsequently.
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is that it's understandable Lot being with them, because Lot's own father is missing. But in some ways, although Lot gained more wealth by coming with Abraham, Lot lost more by coming with Abraham ultimately. right? His salvation is more clear than the other brethren because Peter speaks of it, that righteous man Lot. But you think about it. What if Lot had stayed with the rest of the brethren and had just been there and had amassed only moderate wealth, right? Because remember, Jacob goes up there to Haran, and they were living an average middle-class life up there, and Jacob puts him in a new tax bracket with God's help. He had stayed there, would his ultimate end have been better than where he ended up? It's hard to say because, again, it looks like he is going to end up in the right place at some personal, you know, despite the personal loss he faced. Whereas you have Laban with his mixed worship and idols.
Exactly.
So it's not clear what's going to happen.
I was just going to bring that up. Laban would not have been a great example or a great cohort because Lot's heart was more of a halting between two positions heart rather than, you know, you're right that he did amass because of the proximity to Abram. He amassed a lot and he lost it all.
He lost
everything.
All of it. Yeah. And ends up with people that are enemies of God's people. Like Laban doesn't have that claim.
Right. So it is difficult to say.
Yes,
he could have avoided. He could have avoided. And his character was weakened as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say because you don't just escape your character because of where you are. I've moved in my life 10 times, and you know who always comes with me? Me. So it's not to say that just because he was in one place or the other, it's the influence. He tended to shy to whatever influence was around him. So if he had been able to work it out with Abram, his life would have been better. But in truth, as God said, God didn't want him there. That's an interesting question.
We don't have a clear answer because God, the Bible is largely silent on where those folks end up. Okay? The Bible is largely silent. There are a couple of hints. It could be that the family, wherever they ended up, was going to be problematic, and Lot just made it more so by ending up in a wicked city rather than being out in the plain. But think about this. Remember when Abraham sends Eliezer on that quest to get Isaac a wife? And he tells him, hey, can't do anything with these Canaanites, so go back to the place of my family and seek out someone there. And Eliezer says, well, what happens if I go there and they're not willing to leave? Should I take Isaac there? And he says, oh no. if they won't cooperate with you on this mission, then this promise, this vow that I'm holding you to will be null and void, and you will be able to sever yourself from this oath, but do not take my son over there.
Right? Influence.
So, yes. And by now, Abraham clearly understands when he looks towards Sodom by Genesis chapter 20. When he looks towards Sodom and sees that smoke going up, he understands what happened to the family over that side, and he understands what happened to the family over this side. Right? And think about how strong Abraham is, that he marries Keturah and has these children, sends them all away. Like, Abraham is not affected by his marriage to Keturah.
Right. Yeah.
So it's important for us to make sure that we're in the will of God. God knows how these families are going to turn out. He knows where these people are. And he says, You guys, you need to, I'm taking you out of here. I can salvage you, but not if you stay in close connection with these guys.
And that is a difficult thing. You think of all the stories of athletes who want to do right by their family, and it becomes their downfall, legitimately becomes their downfall. Sometimes, and not in every case, sometimes the best you can do for your family is to stay away from them.
Yeah. It's interesting, but I think the important part is to understand God's will for your life. Right? It's important that we understand God's will for our life. We have these stories and we have these principles that are there that show us how things can go one way or the other, but you need to know for yourself that God is saying to you to move this way or that way, and how, who you can bring and who you can't. Mm-hmm. Right? And you need to understand that God sometimes God sends his people to places that you think would be weird. God allows Daniel and his friends to be captured and taken into a city.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows who he's doing that with. And you notice that of all the Israelites that went over there, we only hear about the names of four of them doing the right stuff.
Right.
Okay? So it's important that when God gives us instruction, that we follow it, because failure to follow it leads to all sorts of little things that we didn't need to have.
Oh, don't I know
it. And that we need to seek his will. Build an altar to the Lord and understand what his will for us is. The title for this one is Separation is Sometimes Required.
Separation is sometimes required. Okay, wonderful. I'll go ahead and pray us out. Dear Lord, we thank you for this lesson, but above all, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear, not once, not twice, but as many times as necessary for us to make the right choice. And we know you are long-suffering, but we pray that we listen early and avoid the troubles that we may occur from listening late. Be with all our listeners, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So write to us. Let us know your thoughts on this topic. The text is right there before you. We went through Genesis 11, 12, and 13. Read it. What do you see? Write to us at truewisdom@spaceage-llc.com. Yes, I'm still working on it. And you can tweet to us at truewisdom_pod. We look forward to hearing from you. Also, check out Andrew's podcast at
BibleStudy.ASBZone.com. That's the Rightly Divide the Word of Truth podcast at BibleStudy.ASBZone.com.
If you're interested in reading, hearing, or sharing old episodes of True Wisdom, you can catch it at truewisdom.buzzsprout.com. Thank you all for listening. We pray that you will be blessed.